الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ورفعنا لك ذكرك صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, elders, students, and my young friends, and my mothers and sisters, it is only through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has blessed us with association and attachment to the greatest prophet and the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This blessing is such a blessing which, if we were to have been given the life of Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, and we spent that life in prostration in order to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will not have been able to do justice to this great favor and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we as believers enjoy today, whatever little we may practice of deen or know of deen, it is only through our attachment and association to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, it is this attribution to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that brings us here today in order to be part of the completion of the most authentic book after the Qur'an, Sahih al-Bukhari. The favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are innumerable and many. And in order for us to understand these favors, it is important that we acknowledge how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us these favors and what is our responsibility with regards to these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each and every favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, if we ponder upon them, then finally they will point and direct our attention to the being of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been given in the form of the Sharia, the Sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given and which we have been told to practice, that is the best. The Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that is the best. every blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been blessed with, that is the best. We have been made the best of nations because of our attribution and connection to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this attribution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and through which we enjoy a very lofty status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to show appreciation for these blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no better method to show our appreciation to these blessings, and most importantly to the being of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, than following in his footsteps, bringing each and every teaching of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, and trying to mold our lives in accordance to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In doing so, we will be blessed in this world, we will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the beloved and accepted among the people of this earth and among the angels in the heavens. So the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to learn that deen. We need to understand that deen, and most importantly, practice that deen. Knowledge, information alone is not the key to success. Unfortunately, nowadays, our mind on many occasions would only go towards acquiring information and becoming knowledgeable. And we will not give due regard to the importance of practice, which is the key to success. Which is the key to success. And from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till today and until the end of time, it is the sacrifices and the hardships and the effort that the people endured in order to learn the knowledge, practice upon it, which brought them success, which made them so successful in this world and the hereafter. As Maulana Zahid Sahib before me mentioned, with regards to how our deen and the knowledge of deen, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been preserved. Much effort, much toiling, much hardship the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum endured. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this deen and the teaching of this deen reach us in the manner that it was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's from among the very few, from among the many famous students of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who exerted a lot of effort behind this ilm, is none other than Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who has recorded the most number of al-hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereas the time that he had in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only 4 years. For someone in that time to record the number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only possible because of him dedicating his time and his life towards this knowledge. And he did not care about his rest, he did not care about any other worldly matter. His objective and goal was to try and benefit as much as possible from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would say with regards to the other companions, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, that they were more busy with regards to their worldly affairs. And I dedicated my time in order to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and preserve the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for this reason, I am able to narrate the number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remember from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which no other companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was able to achieve. Yes, he would mention that Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is such a companion who has preserved more hadith than me, because he would write and I did not write. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the exemplary quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with of memorizing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he memorized the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as a result preserved them. And Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he wrote down the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and preserved them in writing. So Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the other companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum who were blessed with recording the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and preserving them and then conveying them to the other sahaba, to the tabi'een, and until the hadith reached us today. If we look back, then there was much effort, much hardship, much difficulty that they had to endure. So these students in front of us, rather every student of a madrasa that studies ulum of deen, we should not underestimate the effort that they put in order to acquire this deen, in order to acquire this knowledge. Obviously, in the day and age that we live in, especially in advanced countries where we may have madrasas and students staying in boarding, the facilities that they have are far greater and better than places which are in third world countries. But at the same time, we should not undermine and underestimate the effort that these students put, the effort that these students put, because regardless of where a person stays or whatever facilities he has, students have to endure difficulty, hardship in order to acquire knowledge. A person whilst relaxing, without putting any effort, without toiling, cannot be successful. So similarly is the case with a student studying in a madrasa. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sahih mentions a statement of Yahya ibn Kathir rahimahullah that he would say, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسم, that a person cannot acquire knowledge through comfort of the body. So Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, he narrates this statement of Yahya ibn Kathir in a place in his book which has no apparent relationship with the hadith that he is discussing at that time. So the commentators, they elaborate on the reason why Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi decided to put this statement which apparently seems out of place. So one explanation is this, that the manner in which this hadith has been narrated and the people that have narrated this hadith, because it is so inclusive with regards to the command that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning, and it elaborates on a teaching of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most beautiful of manners. So for this reason, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi is saying that the person who has narrated this hadith was only able to do so due to him having exerted effort behind acquiring knowledge. If he was someone that gave preference to his own comfort and he did not have the importance of exerting himself behind acquiring knowledge, then it would not have been possible for him to narrate such a wonderful hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has preserved this deen and preserved the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam generation through generation, through people who have exerted so much effort, which we cannot comprehend. And the students of this day and age also exert a lot of effort. And most importantly, our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah, who gives so much time, especially when it comes towards the latter part of the completion of Bukhari, the time that our Honorable Shaykh gives and the time that the students give, practically and logically, it is impossible from a worldly perspective for anyone to give that much time without being psychologically, mentally or physically affected. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of the hadith and the statements of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allows the students of hadith and most importantly, our Honorable Shaykh of Idhullah, to give so much time, 4, 4, 5, 5, 6, 6 hours and sessions of hadith, that our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah imparts hadith, which for a normal person or for someone that may be physically strong and healthy, it is impossible for them to be so alert in order to convey the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the manner that it should be. Our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah, his method of teaching is not just to skim through and quickly narrate the hadith without giving a proper explanation to the students. And the students appreciate that. The students appreciate that and they also give that effort that is required. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has preserved our deen, the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through much effort. And first of all, we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that. So just as the deen has been preserved through effort, in order for us to be associated to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this deen, that will demand from us some form of effort. It will demand from us effort, toiling and exerting ourselves. And what is the most important effort that we need to exert? That is the effort behind controlling our nafs. No matter how much a person associates himself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attributes himself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hearing derogatory remarks about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cannot do justice to his affiliate to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without him exerting effort against his nafs and thereafter following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. It is no use a person speaking, saying things in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in defense of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet his own actions is contrary to what he says. His own behavior is contrary to what he says. So effort and exerting ourselves with regards to acquiring the knowledge of deen, that is our responsibility. And effort and exerting ourselves with regards to following what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that is also our responsibility. And when we study the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner in which those people that exerted themselves and what they achieved, you will come across amazing incidents, amazing examples that will be an eye-opener for us, that how was it possible for these people to achieve what they achieved? And how was it possible for them to become so successful? First of all, because they curbed their desires, they controlled their nafs, and they gave preference to acquiring knowledge and then practicing that knowledge. And as a result, so many amazing things about their lives have been preserved and passed on to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so many of these people, He gave them such a long life, from which so many people after them were able to benefit from. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his Sahih certain narrators of hadith who were given a long life, and how people after them were able to benefit from them through the chain of narration. As all of us know, that the books of hadith that are taught from the teacher all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a chain of narration. Sahih al-Bukhari being the most authentic book, which our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah has been teaching for a number of years. The students that will be completing this book today, from the beginning of the book till the end, each and every narrator that comes in the hadith, the students are directly linked to these from these narrators to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by way of these narrators to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this isnad, this chain of narration, is exclusive for this ummah. No other religion, no other methodology a person can come across wherein so much importance to the chain of narration has been given, which Islam has given to, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved to this day. So people of the other scriptures as well, you will not find anyone able to trace whatever religious scriptures they have or any statements regarding their religious scriptures all the way down to their prophets. Yes, we are very fortunate that we can trace each and every statement of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way down to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much barakah and blessing to many of these scholars. So Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi mentions about Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba and Uthman ibn Abi Shayba rahimahumullah, that they were great scholars of hadith, and they were very learned with regards to hadith, with regards to practicing the ahadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he mentions about Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba that he had two students who narrate from him. One is Muhammad bin Sa'd Qatib al-Waqidi, and the other is Abu Amr rahimahumullah. So he says that both of these students, Abu Amr al-Naysaburi rahmatullah alayhi, both of them narrate from Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, and both of these students that narrate from him, Allah gave them so much life in this world that between the two, the difference of age after one passing away was 108 to 107 years. So one of the students lived for much longer than the other. But the difference between the death of both of them, who benefited from Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, so Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba is the teacher, and two of his students who benefited from him, but the death between the two of the students is recorded to be 107 to 108 years. That is how long one of them lived after the other. So obviously the one that lived longer, whoever benefited from him, he was able to link the hadith with a shorter chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be preserved with a shorter chain, and by giving such life to people. So why were these people blessed with a long life? One was because they exerted effort behind not learning, and most importantly, learning what they, practicing what they had learned. Because it comes in the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that la yaruddu al-qada'a illa du'a. That if there was anything that could thwart and avert taqdeer, then it would be du'a. So something that could stop whatever taqdeer has written, then it would be du'a. And wala yazidu fil umri illa al-birr. That if there was something that would increase a person in life, then it is doing good deeds. So doing good deeds is among those things that would increase a person's life. So sometimes practically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person a very long life. A very long life. And sometimes the life may be short, but that person, even after dying, he lives on. Why? Because people remember him. People remember him for years on end, and they will keep on remembering him until the day of judgment. We hear about the four imams who are time and again mentioned. We hear about the authors of Siha Sitta. Time and again they are mentioned. So although they may have died a death at the normal age that a person may die, but their life still lives on. Why? Because even after so many thousands of years, we still mention the names. We still mention the names after so many hundreds of years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people of knowledge who practice upon that knowledge with long life. So many people among the narrators of hadith were given a long life. First and foremost because they practice what they learned. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that the people that come after them, they may directly benefit from them. And the chain of narration is able to become shorter, and the link with them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is shorter. So the effort that the people of the past put behind acquiring knowledge, we cannot find examples in this day. We cannot find that same example in this day and age. But at the same time, we should not undermine the madrasa, the teachers and the students that learn and impart this knowledge. Our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah would mention with regards to Haji Farooq Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he would say that in the past, people had to do a lot of mujahada. They had to exert themselves a lot in order to acquire a lofty status in spirituality. So he would say that whatever they acquired after toiling and exerting themselves a lot. So it is just like in this day and age, medication has advanced. In the past, medication, tablets that you would have, were very big. And through medication progressing, the tablets have become now micro and very small. So similarly, in the past, the people had to exert a lot of effort to acquire a particular status and recognition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this day and age, if a person were to put a little effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still bless him with the same, Allah will still bless him with the same. So these students and the teachers, and most importantly, our Honorable Shaykh Vidahullah, the effort that they put, it is not something which is small. It is worth a lot of praise, and it is worth acknowledgement. And from among the many examples that we find of how hardship has been endured by the teachers and students of the past, one example is of Baqi ibn Makhlad rahimahullah. Baqi ibn Makhlad rahimahullah, it is mentioned about him that he traveled all the way from Spain, to Baghdad in order to acquire a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Baqi ibn Makhlad from Andalusia, Spain, he traveled by foot. So he crossed the Mediterranean and then traveled by foot to reach Baghdad. And it is said that it took him 2 years to reach Baghdad. And when he reached Baghdad, his objective was to sit in the company and halqa of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. But unfortunately, when he reached there, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he was under house arrest. So he went to the masjid in order to first and foremost look for Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. So when he went to the masjid, he saw that there was a halqa there. So he tried to sit close to the halqa of knowledge, but there wasn't enough space. So he asked people that, who is this person? So they said, this is Yahya ibn Ma'in rahimahullah. And he is one of the greatest scholars of Baghdad. So he says, in order for people to get a space near to Yahya ibn Ma'in, his lesson would start after Fajr, but they would sit the day before after Asr. So from Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the following day, Fajr, that is when they would get the opportunity to benefit from Yahya ibn Ma'in, because there was no microphones. So a person could only benefit if he was close by. So from Asr all the way to the following day, Fajr, he said he would sit in order to get a close opportunity to benefit from Yahya ibn Ma'in. So when he got closer to him, And he began asking him questions. Yahya ibn Ma'in asked him that, where have you come from? So he told him, I've come from Andalusia, and it's taken me 2 years to get here. So obviously, he wanted to make the most of this opportunity. So he began asking him question after question after question, and the people around him began to get agitated, that you're taking most of the time. Also give us an opportunity to benefit from him. So he said to them that I've come from a very long way, and that is why I am making or trying to make the most opportunity that I have got. And finally, when he asked him that, what is your opinion with regards to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? So Yahya ibn Ma'in said that he is the greatest scholar from among the people of Baghdad, and he's the Imam of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So there is no one better than him in Baghdad. And unfortunately, he is under house arrest. So Baqi ibn Makhlad rahimahullah, upon being informed as to where Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi resides, he decided to go to him and request him to teach him. But obviously, when he knocked on the door, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi answered and said to him that I have been put under strict restrictions and I cannot teach anyone. So Baqi ibn Makhlad said that I have traveled from a very long way, and the manner in which I will seek knowledge from you is that I will come as a beggar every day and I will knock on your door. So I will change my appearance, knock on the door, and when I knock on the door, I will extend my hand as though I am begging from you. So you teach me a hadith which I will write down and I will memorize. So this is the manner in which, my brothers, the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have reached us today. And today it is very easy for us to look for easy ways out and at the same time try and get a title of becoming an alim. We would want to be in the comfort of our homes and learn about the deen online or far distance learning. So look at how these people, they exerted so much effort in order to acquire this deen and in order to preserve the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet we cannot even be 1 or 2% similar to them. We cannot be 1 or 2% similar to them, let alone 5%, 10%, 15%. We cannot even match them in any way. But it is the effort and the hardships that a person goes through that truly makes a person acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as we have been given this opportunity to learn, this opportunity of learning does not just end here now. It should remain with us. We should remain a student of knowledge, and our effort of learning and acquiring this knowledge should remain with the same zeal which our pious predecessors, they exerted. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, in his old age, someone asked him, seeing him in his old age with an inkpot and paper, they asked him that, إِلَى مَتَى يَبْنَ Hanbal, that until when are you going to seek knowledge? So he said, مَعَ الْمِحْبَرَةِ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةِ, that with the inkpot I will go to the grave. So our seeking knowledge, whether we are a student, whether we are a layman, for even the layman, our Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah time and again emphasizes the importance of learning about our deen. So those of my brothers who are not alim, we should ask ourselves this question, that truly how much time do we dedicate with the purpose of learning about our deen? If we look at what we acquire, we only sit in a bayan, and the bayan that we sit in maybe just be before Jumu'ah, and the only reason why we listen to whatever is being said is because we've come for the Jumu'ah Salah. So the objective is never to learn about our deen. It's either just to pass time, or we've come for the Jumu'ah Salah, or because we enjoy the speech of the speaker, that is why we are there. So how many of us truly would give dedicated time towards learning about our deen? So if you were to take analysis, then I am sure less than 5% would be the conclusion from the gathering. Less than 5% would say that I exert and I dedicate time towards learning about my deen. So we need to learn about our deen. That is the most important thing for every believer, that we should be well versed with regards to the commands of our deen, with regards to the Quran, with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to the being of Allah, with regards to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more we will learn, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us to practice what we learn. Because without learning, practice will be very difficult. So what we learn, that would be the first step towards practicing. So if we learn, then inshallah we will be able to practice. So whether we are a student, whether we are an alim, whether we are a layman, we should seek knowledge. And we should continuously seek this knowledge. We should continuously be seeking knowledge. There are so many books that are authored, that are in the public domain nowadays. So we should obtain authentic books and read upon them. And in the guidance of an alim, for those that are laymen, they should ask an alim and benefit from their guidance as to what books should they read and how should they, after reading, try and benefit from whatever they have read and try and bring that into their lives. So this connection to our deen by way of learning and practicing, that would take us a long way in becoming successful in this world and most importantly in the hereafter. And through this we will be able to dispel so many misconceptions with regards to our deen, with regards to what wrong people say about our deen. Actions speak louder than words. So how we would practice, how we would behave, that would demonstrate what our deen exactly teaches us. Nowadays, whenever we hear something derogatory said about Islam, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so obviously there's much propaganda, the media does not help in any way, but as soon as we say something wrong or behave abnormal, or we don't behave in the manner that we should, or we take the law in our own hands, that is what is portrayed more in the media. So each and every believer at such an instance, he should be able to understand what should he be doing, how should his attitude be, how should his response be. He should never be overwhelmed and lose his senses at such a time when he is tested. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our honorable Shaykh of Allah, was mentioning about how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people would say derogatory remarks about him, the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are many, many attributive names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among which Muhammad Ahmad is the greatest and most famous name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his enemies, they would, in order to ridicule and hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would say na'udhu billah mudhamman. They would say mudhamman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would hear such derogatory remarks, obviously this would affect him. As Allah has already mentioned in the Quran, Mawlana Zayd Sahib has mentioned the verse of the Quran, that what did Allah say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fasabbih bihamdi rabbik, that in such instances, glorify the praise of your Lord, rather than pay attention towards what they're saying, attach yourself more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a wake-up call for us. Whenever we find ourselves in such a situation, because we are very far away from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses an enemy in order to wake us up, to draw us more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is in no need of a believer for the deen to be passed on and for the deen to progress. In one hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a battle, someone who exerted so much effort against the enemy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person is going to go into the fire of hell. So this amazed the Sahaba, that this person from the apparent seems as though he's so dedicated to the cause of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning something about him which is against the reality. So after a while, the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know that because he was struck with an arrow or he was hurt by the enemy, he could not tolerate the pain. So he took his own life. He took his own life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that go and announce among the people that لا يدخل الجنة إلا مؤمنون. that only a believer will enter paradise. And then say that وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times assists the deen through a person who is a transgressor. Sometimes through a disbeliever as well. That he is bent backwards in harming Islam, but what he does from the apparent is to harm Islam, but there is a complete opposite reaction. That instead of harming, it becomes beneficial. So we need to also attach ourselves to our deen by way of learning it, by way of practicing it, and inshallah through this we will be able to dispel so many misconceptions about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said.